Well, the Epiphany itself as a feast is of Eastern origin. It's a gift from the East to us, whereas Christmas is a feast which is of Western origin. And originally they more or less celebrated similar things, different aspects of the mystery of the Incarnation, the Nativity. The Epiphany has over the centuries come to concentrate on three manifestations of God. And they are the one we're all familiar with, the visit of the Magi, the three wise men, but also the baptism of the Lord, which we now celebrate on the Sunday after the Epiphany, and the miracle of the wedding at Cana. And the reason why these three things are put into the Feast of the Epiphany is because they are all epiphanies. They're all revelations or manifestations of God to the world. So the visit of the wise men, the wise men represent all the nations, all the Gentiles, and they came to adore the Lord. So the Lord was revealed to the nations. At the baptism, you have the revelation of Christ. It's the start of his ministry, his public ministry. And the heavens open, and you have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So again, Christ is revealed to the people. So it's another epiphany. And then the wedding at Cana in Galilee is the first of his miracles. When Mary asked Jesus, said to him that they had no wine, and he got the steward to go and draw, fill these 12 stone jars with water and then go and draw out some and bring it to be tasted, and it had turned to wine. So again, it was his first miracle. So it was the first time, as the Gospels say, he let his glory be seen, so that he was revealed. So they're all revelations of God.
So how can we expect to have God revealed to us, or to meet God in a special way in this Feast of the Epiphany?
Well, the Epiphany as a feast concentrates on these three mysteries, but it also concentrates on our own time, the time that we're in. The liturgy, whenever we celebrate it, is bringing the mystery of God to us in our own time, in our own place. And this is particularly true of the Epiphany because it's a feast of time. The Epiphany celebrates the revelation of God, as I said, but it's the revelation of God in our own time. And because this is such a strong theme in the Epiphany, there's a tradition that has built up where the date of Easter is announced on the day of the Epiphany. Because, as you know, Easter changes every year, so it falls on a different day, a date every year. And because of this, people, particularly in the past when they didn't have access to calendars like we do, they needed to know when Easter was going to be that year. So the custom arose of announcing the date of Easter on the Feast of the Epiphany. And then, out of that, they started announcing the other important dates too, Ash Wednesday, which is a date that also changes every year, but then also the other movable feasts, as they're called, the ones that depend on Easter, and the other major feasts of the year. And the whole idea is that by living the liturgical year, going through the cycle every year, that we encounter Christ in our own time as we go through the year. In the ordinary events of our life as we go through the year, we meet him in his mysteries.
That's quite different from our usual focus on the Epiphany, which is the coming of the three wise men, them following the star.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well, the three wise men, everybody knows the story of the three wise men, that they arrived late and that when eventually they got there, after having played their trick on King Herod and all the rest of it, they arrive at the scene with their three gifts, which are symbolic gifts. They're they're obviously not terribly useful gifts for Mary and Joseph, who'd want these three things if you were in a stable. Now, gold, frankincense and myrrh are pretty useless to them. But it's not about that. It's about what they mean. So gold reveals the King of Kings, because gold, being the precious metal, is the gift that you give to a king. Frankincense reveals Christ as the Son of God, because incense is what you offer, you see at Mass sometimes, the smoke rising, and it's a symbol of prayer going up before God. And frankincense is the best of incense. So this is a symbol of Christ as the Son of God. And myrrh then, myrrh was a perfume used for anointing, perfuming, something like a body, a dead body, so on. You know that when Christ was crucified, you have the myrrh-bearing women who come to the tomb to anoint the body and so on. They're bringing this myrrh, this to anoint Christ. And so it's a sweet-smelling ointment, and it's a sign of Christ's death and resurrection. So you have the King of Kings, the Son of God, and then also this way of looking forward to what was to come in the Passion, Death and Resurrection.
And what about the star?
The star is something that fascinates people today, I think, because they all want to know, was it Halley's Comet or was it something else? Or were the three wise men these astrologers, or who were they, or whatever? And I suppose it's something that's caught the modern imagination, because we know much more about the stars and so on than they would have known when the Gospels were written. But really, I think the star is much more about following a light, something that can guide you. And there's a lovely phrase in the hymn that we sing at Vespers, at evening prayer, on the Feast of the Epiphany, the old Latin hymn. It says, Lumen requirunt lumine, which means, talking about the wise men, following a light, they were searching for the light. And in our own lives, each one of us, we follow different lights. We encounter people sometimes who are of help to us in difficult situations, or who are able to point out the way to us, where we should go, what we should do in a particular situation. They're lights that we follow. They provide light. Whenever you throw light on something, you can see clearly what the situation is and you know what to do. So, but by following these lights, we search all the time for the true light. And the true light is Christ. And so what that short little line in the hymn is trying to say to us is that as we go through life, we're really searching all the time for the meaning of life, for Christ. And in order to find him, sometimes we need help. And that help can come in all sorts of ways, sometimes in very unusual ways, from the most unlikely sources. But wherever it comes from, that's our star for that time in our life. And it guides us to where we need to go, to where we need to be, in order to find the true light,